Greetings, everyone. This is Keith and Karina coming to you once again from the great state of Pennsylvania. We're going to continue on in our series of the gifts of the Holy Spirit, and this will be part 9. And it's going to be a continuation a little bit here still of the subject of tongues and interpretation of tongues, and we may also be able to move on to one of the other gifts in this podcast. But as is my habit, as my custom, before we generally get started, I always like to introduce my sweet, my beautiful, wonderful, amazing, wonderful wife, Miss Norca Karina.
Hi, everyone, again. May the Lord continue to bless you and enrich you. May your soul prosper and everything that the Lord has placed in your hands as we continue to grow in grace and knowledge and revelation. God is so good. And you know, I can speak for myself. I love the Word of God, and I would like to just have all the knowledge, all the revelation overnight, and just grow like that so fast. But it's good to trust the Holy Spirit, and He knows exactly how to teach us. He knows exactly how we learn, because each one of us learns in a different way as well, at different paces. And the Holy Spirit is just so wonderful at that, at teaching us. And so I'm saying that because we can just enjoy this process. And there may be something, and I speak for myself again, that when you hear it the first time, it just, whoa, what does that mean? But the Holy Spirit, in due time, He just brings the understanding to that word or to that doctrine, to that teaching, whatever it is that the Lord is bringing your way that day. So may we enjoy the process of learning. May we enjoy it and trust that the Holy Spirit is the best teacher, and He knows exactly how, when to give you the information, the revelation that you need to receive as you listen to these podcasts.
Amen, sweetheart. That's a lot of wisdom in what you're saying there, you know, because sometimes, you know, it can be easy to take for granted when you know a subject pretty well, you know, that it's not anything new you'll hear that you can learn, but yet there's still more things we can always learn. Amen. And at the same time, for those who are just beginning to learn on the subject, you know, sometimes we think they can get it just so easily the first time around, but I have to know, you know, from my own experience that, you know, it didn't happen that way that I learned it immediately. I had to hear things several times over. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I played things over a dozen times.
That's encouraging to hear.
Until I got it, you know. But that's the beauty of these recordings, is that you can listen to them over and over again.
Exactly.
And so that's why we're doing them.
That's right. God is good.
Okay, so we're going to pick up here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and kind of just reiterate some of the things we said about the gifts of the Spirit in general before we get back to tongues and interpretation of tongues.
Okay.
Paul says in verse 1, he says, "Not concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant." And we don't want anyone to be ignorant, because we need people to be knowledgeable of these things. These gifts are very important, and they're very valuable for the advancement of the kingdom. I think this is something that needs to be emphasized over and over again, mm-hmm. that these gifts are very important for the advancement of the kingdom of God. Because without them, there's no power really to stop the enemy forces in the earth. Someone says, well, the blood of Jesus and the word of our testimony will do all that. Okay, well, it's true, and it even sounds good on the surface, but there's more depth to that than just the mere words alone. What does it mean, the word of our testimony and the blood of Jesus? Well, does that mean it happens automatically just because we testify that Jesus is Lord? Well, the word of our testimony would also include the words that we get of revelation from the Lord that enables us to be able to teach others, and the things that we learn. You know, when someone gives their testimony, they usually give information about the process that they went through and all they learned and how God changed and transformed their life. And I have to say that my life changed and transformed it really began not just when I was born again, you know, young at the age of about 8 years old, but when I was like 28 years old, when I had come back to the Lord to repent before the Lord. And he spoke to me to repent at the time. You know, I didn't see my need for that, you know, because I was just blaming everyone else for my troubles. Mm. You know, I'm going to go into all the depth on that testimony right now. Maybe we'll do that another time. But my point is that God began to reveal to me at that point the things of the gifts of the Spirit. You know, these were new to me. I didn't grow up in church with these things, you know. And so it was a new, you know, transition in my life. And as I began to learn these things, I saw, wow, the very fact that I didn't know these things and didn't have them operating in my life was an indication of the fact that I was defeated. You know, some may say, well, you know, all you need to do is just believe in Jesus and Jesus will take care of the rest. Well, that isn't what Jesus said. Jesus told his disciples to go into the world and preach the gospel, teaching them to observe all things that he had commanded. And he commanded a lot of things that they're not putting into practice. And he said, these signs will follow those who believe in my name, they will cast out devils. I grew up in church and I never saw nobody cast out a devil. Matter of fact, we didn't even talk about it. Mm-hmm. All we talked about is just telling people about Jesus so they can get saved. It was, you know, we knew the devil was real, but it was as if, you know, somehow the church was off limits to him. You know, because we were good Christian boys and girls, and we quit smoking, drinking, and cussing, and lying. So, you know, the devil had to go away. But yet, how is that relevant to the people down the street that's struggling with drugs and alcohol and suicide and all these different things that's plaguing them? You know, and murder. I mean, murder is rampant in many cities. It's just off the chart, you know, crime. You turn on the TV, you're always seeing somebody killing somebody, somebody getting murdered. These things are happening all around the world, and you're going to tell me the devil's not behind these things? Somebody says, well, what's this got to do with your subject of tongues and interpretation of tongues? Well, we'll get to that, because every part of the body of Christ, every member is important, as well as every gift of the Spirit is important, and they work together for a common purpose, for a common goal. We talked about yesterday the benefit of tongues for edification. When a person is edified, they're built up. And when they're built up, they're stronger. And when they're stronger, they're able to do more. So you can take the opposite of that. When they're not edified, they're not built up. When they're not built up, they're not stronger. When they're not stronger, they're not able to do as much. And so, what are some of those things they're not able to do? They're not able to overcome the forces of darkness. It's important, you know, that we have these revelations given to us through Scripture so that we can know what is made available to us. Just like if, you know, you go to some remote village in Africa or somewhere, you know, in the Amazon, where they haven't even seen civilization, never seen a TV, never seen a telephone or a cell phone or any of these things we have in modern convenience, never even saw a car. Imagine what they could do with a lot of these things once they learn how to use them. You know,
change their lives.
And we have these technologies that we take for granted, but actually when we look at history, many of these things haven't been around any more than the last 100 years. In the last 100 years, most of all these things came on the scene. You know, the automobile, what, in the late 1800s, early 1900s, the telephone, the telegraph, these things back in the day, even as in the Civil War, they used to telegraph. That was a technology at the time. You had to run telegraph wires all across, you know, the countryside just to send a little code of message, beep, 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 you know. And now what we have is cell phones and satellite cell phones. We got technology that young people today just take so for granted as if this has been around forever, and it hasn't. Well, it's the same thing here. We're dealing with the forces of darkness that are dominating the world, and Jesus came to give us life and life more abundantly, but in order to have that abundant life and to help people to have it, we have to have the tools that's necessary to walk in that abundant life, and the gifts of the Spirit are such things. that we need. And so when we're reading here, that it says, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. He's wanting us to understand the value of these things and what they mean and what they can do. And so people read these things and say, well, yeah, I know. I've read all this. I learned this stuff growing up in school, in Christian school. I graduated from a Christian high school. And we read this, but it didn't make a whole lot of sense to me. You know what all this meant? You know, and they didn't preach on it or teach on it very much at all. So I didn't have any clue until around the age of 30 years old that God began to open my mind and understanding to what these things were. These are gifts that empower believers to overcome the forces of darkness in the world. And so, you know, when you're living in a nation that's got all the conveniences and, you know, modern conveniences and the freedoms that we have, it can be so easy to take for granted, you know, what we have, the freedoms that we have. But if you're in a country, a nation, where the gospel is being opposed because Satan is ruling that nation, you need these gifts even more so. Because today, you know, Christians in America, they want to sit around and argue and debate about the gifts, whether it's for today or whether or not. And to me, I find it, you know, I don't know what the word, silly or incredible, because of the fact is, if they were desperately in need of these gifts, it wouldn't even be an argument. You know, it's like we talked about leprosy. You know, for most of human history up until recent decades, leprosy was incurable, and it would eat away at your flesh. Your fingers, your nose would fall, all this stuff, it would deteriorate. This bacteria-eating disease was horrible. It would destroy a person's life. And imagine what it did to their psyche, having to be, you know, put out of the community. You couldn't even socialize and live a normal life like everybody else. And you're going to run into somebody who says, well, you know, that's just God's will for you because he's sovereign. If he wants to heal you, he will. You know, we don't need the gifts of the Spirit for today. Well, that person never had leprosy. It said that. They never had an incurable disease that's destroying their life little by little, day by day, eating away at their life and destroying them, or live in a country where the gospel is so opposed that the very threat of owning a Bible or even speaking a word about God or Jesus, your life is in jeopardy. Your whole family's life is in jeopardy. Even if you escape and leave the country, you're also leaving your family vulnerable to be sent to labor camps and to be killed, simply as retaliation for what you did.
Right, that's terrible.
That's a terrible way to live. Definitely. But see, what am I saying all that for? I'm saying it's because the gifts of the Spirit are more valuable and more powerful than most people realize and what they can accomplish and achieve in this world. They can achieve complete and total domination over the enemy. Here, let me say that again. These gifts are given for us to dominate Satan in every area Amen. Of the word.
Amen.
Jesus Amen. Said, I've come to give you life, a life more abundantly.
Amen.
And he meant that very thing. And it's the devil who comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. So it takes the gifts of the Holy Spirit to destroy the works of the devil. Jesus said, that it says in here, I think in 1 John 3:8. Let me look at that, because I'm just going to follow where I believe the Lord's leading me to go here. 1 John 3:8. And then we'll come back to the gifts. It says, he who sins is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. Here's where I want to key in on. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the Amen. Devil. This is why Jesus was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. What works of the devil? Number one, the domination of human beings, to destroy that work that he is doing to dominate human beings. You say, well, Jesus came to give us eternal life. Okay, yes, absolutely. But he, when we get saved, do we automatically just go to heaven from that point on? Okay, you're saved. Now let's take me on up. No, we still got to live a whole life on earth. And we need to be able to know how to live in this earth successfully. Jesus didn't save us so he can leave us, as you mentioned, you know, to leave us as orphans.
That's right.
Sweetheart. He left us here and left us with tools, equipment that we need to have to operate in this world to have domination of the enemy. Now, what do I mean? It isn't simply about going around, oh, yeah, I'm so tough, I can defeat the devil, you know, and bragging and boasting. It's about the enemy has come to steal, to kill, and destroy. And he's killing people every single day. There are young women, girls especially, that are right now bound up in sex trafficking rings, dominated by demon-possessed people who are running these
God-forsaken
things. And who's there to save them? Who's there to save these girls? If we would have more Christians believing in the gifts of the Spirit, then such things as a tongue and an interpretation with the revelation could come that will bring a prophetic word or bring a word of knowledge, bring a word of wisdom. What was it we even saw in the Old Testament? The Elijah had the gift of being able to see exactly what the enemy was going to do ahead of time. Right?
That's right.
You remember the story, mm-hmm. right? The king, or he's talking about, who is in my camp that is telling all the secrets? It's a traitor and telling the secrets that have been spoken in my bedchamber. No, the guys, one of the advisors, no, there's a prophet in Israel.
Praise God. And he sees
and he hears.
Praise God.
So see, how can this relate to sex trafficking?
Mm-hmm.
Because God can give somebody a revelation and say, oh, there's this girl that's being held captive in this neighborhood on this street, and you can free her. Or this person who's running the sex trafficking ring, this is the guy who heads it all up.
Expose
and you can
them.
Go to him and get
that's
him,
right.
expose him. Revelation knowledge is also given to expose the enemy.
That's
it
right.
says, you just said, sweetheart. There is so much to the gifts of the Spirit that I don't think even 20 segments of this would cover it, because there's so much revelation knowledge that needs to be given, that people need to see through these gifts, that will help them to see the importance of them. Because one thing I realize is that when people don't see a value in something, they don't go after it. If you don't value tongues and interpretation of tongues, and you say, well, it's the least of the gifts. I don't need this. So who cares about that? Give me one of the other gifts. Give me the gift of miracles. We need all of them, because we need people to be able to have a tongue and an interpretation. And it isn't just about winning the loss so that I can go to a remote village and speak in their tongue and they can hear me in their language. Certainly it can still be used for that. But there's many more uses. And one thing we talked about was edifying oneself. And we need to be edified as much as we can be edified, because we're being arrayed against by an enemy, an adversary, who is constantly trying to oppress us and keep us down, to depress and oppress people. And why is he doing that? It's so that we won't be effective to stop what he's doing, which is dominating the world, dominating humanity, dominating your loved ones, dominating, you know, people in your church. We have good, upstanding, good Christian people in our church that love the Lord, but we can see how the enemy is oppressing them so severely,
yes.
and our heart cries out for them, because I've been there. It's painful to live in that place where you're dominated by depression, anxiety, and fear, and all these things, and disease, and whatever it might be, all kinds of trouble, you know. Somebody says, well, you know, the Bible says that we're going to have trouble in this world. Yes, it does say that. But it also says that greater is he who's in us than he is in the world. It also says that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. It also says that God will give us the victory and he will deliver us. These promises are also given to help us to overcome. And we're not going to do that without the gifts of the Spirit. I'm just going to say it bluntly. Without the gifts of the Spirit, we're not going to be able to do much of anything to stop Satan from what he's doing in the earth, from dominating other human beings. We might get the freedom, but you know what? How can we sit by and rest peacefully knowing that there's lost people out there that are going to hell, and there's lost people out there who are so oppressed that they can't even see up from down. They don't know which way is up because the devil has them so twisted and mixed up, they don't know where they're coming or going. Or even God's people that are so oppressed of the enemy. We need these gifts. And I'm still so impressed by what the Lord has shown me about that parable that he was talking about Sodom. You know, when he said that, he told Capernaum, if the works had been done in Sodom that were done in you, the mighty works, the gifts of miracles, healings, raising the dead, cleansing the lepers, casting out of demons, all these things have been done in you that if they were done in Sodom that were done in you, they would have remained until this day. That is the power. That is the power of the gifts of the Spirit to get people's attention and change and transform them.
And it's no wonder the enemy does not want us to have the knowledge nor the power.
Exactly.
At least not to walk in it, because we have it because we have the Holy Spirit, but we need the manifestation of them.
And we're never going to have it. You know, people are never going to have something they don't pursue, and that's they're never going to pursue something they don't value.
You know, it's so sad. I mean, first of all, we pray that we are all doers of the word and not just hearers, right? Because all of this is so important, so good, so vital, so necessary, so life-changing. But if we don't do something, if it's only theory, it's not going to make a difference in our lives. And I pray as the Lord is using you, is using this podcast to take this message out there, that every single listener will have this hunger. And I believe that the Holy Spirit, he is so perfect because he is God. He is bringing this to those hearts that are ready, and they may not even know it. They are ready to say, this is what I want. And there is a hunger. And now the Lord is setting the table before the listeners and us, because we're not excluding ourselves. This is for all of us who are children of God, so that we can not only contemplate the table. You know, it would be wonderful, of course, for people to say, oh, that was such a great podcast. I learned so much. That was so encouraging. That was so inspirational. That's nice. But you know what's even better? When someone actually acts upon it and their life changes, and then they go ahead and change the life of many others. The Holy Spirit can use him or her as a vessel of power to change the lives of so many people, as you said, that are in oppression and darkness. And that person can walk in the gifts and the power of God. And you know what? We declare it in the name of Jesus. We believe it.
Amen.
We believe it. That the fact that this is being shared, it's not just to fill up the air. This with sounds, the Holy Spirit, the time is now. The time is now. So we believe it, that as the listeners hear this and receive this in their heart, in their spirit, the Holy Spirit is waking us up and stirring the fire inside, igniting the fire, flaming the fire, though he does make us responsible for flaming that fire, so that it is each listener can go ahead and act with this and move with this power, walk in the power of the Spirit. So we're believing it, we're claiming it, we're trusting God, we're thanking God for it, because this is not in vain. This is not just to kill time. And we trust that with the passion that Jesus died on the cross, didn't look back, so that we can have this life and power. Every listener also is filled with passion. And you know what? I think about, we so many times, you've been using the word pursue. If we stop and we think about how we spend our day, you know, and we're honest about the things that we pursue. And sometimes we're very passionate about pursuing things that are not fruitful or important or have anything to do with eternity at all, at all.
Amen.
And we give it our time, our strength, our mind, our passion, our money, our resources, our talent. And it's not going anywhere. It's just something so temporal. However, what God is giving us, what God has given us access to, is something that we're going to walk in throughout eternity. And as you mentioned, how amazing when we go back home to see the smile on the Lord's face, to not just say, yeah, get in, but to call us faithful, good servants.
Amen.
Right? That's going to be an amazing experience, but we have to start investing into our eternity now, into investing into the smile on our Lord's face now.
Amen, sweetheart. That's so beautiful. Thank you for so much sharing that. I really believe it's helping people to see the value and importance of putting their priorities first.
Amen.
You know, God's priorities first, because, you know, it is easy to get caught up in just the everyday life and even distracted by other desires that are not necessarily sinful at all.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that they're taking away from the more important things of God's kingdom.
That's right.
And I heard one preacher one time say this, and I think it bears repeating. He said that the enemy of best is good. And I thought, what? Because when we accept a lot of things as good, we overlook what God has that's best.
Mm.
And the gifts of the Holy Spirit is God's best, and we need them.
Amen.
The church needs these gifts if we're going to overcome the forces of darkness. And such being, you know, as we try to explain and teach on the different gifts of the Spirit, some, you know, of the aspects, which, of course, you know, I'm not covering everything about every one of them, but, you know, there's still more resources out there. Matter of fact, I might even recommend one, the book called The Gifts of the Spirit by Derek Prince.
Awesome.
That is a very valuable resource that has helped me over the years that I've learned from, and kind of keeping in line with what we started out here with this topic of the tongues, interpretation of tongues. One of the benefits of tongues and interpretation is the ability of intercessory prayer, to be able to even intercede for someone you don't even know about. You say, what does interpretation of tongues have to do with that? Well, in some ways, an interpretation can come in different forms. For example, when we think of the traditional form of interpretation of tongue is when, as Paul instructs in 1 Corinthians 14, you know, that, you know, let one or two or three at most speak in a tongue and let someone interpret, you know. So he's talking about the public assembly of the church. But in private assembly, Paul even said that he would rather speak five words with his understanding, you know, in the public assembly, than 10,000 words in a tongue that people didn't understand. But he said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all.
That's right.
So where's he doing that then, if he's rather speak words with his understanding in the church?
He's not contradicting himself.
He's doing that in his own private prayer time, right?
Mm.
Own private time. And yet, I've known from many people's testimonies how people who have been woken up in the middle of the night and the Holy Spirit moved on them to pray in other tongues. And some had saw a vision of a person they knew that was on the other side of the world. Could have been a missionary or somebody who's preaching the gospel. And one guy talked about, I don't remember who it was, but because I know so many stories, saw them pull the sheet over this guy's head. He died. And he began interceding and praying in the spirit. And they saw them pull that sheet up and he came back to life.
Hallelujah.
He was brought back from the dead.
Praise God.
And there's been many, numerous testimonies of such things like that, how a tongue can be intercessory prayer to pray for things that only God knows about, because we don't know what's going on the other side of the world, right? And one thing it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, I'm going to have to close it up here real soon, that he says here in verse 14, he says, if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. My spirit prays. And we also mentioned how it is what it edifies us. But notice back here in verse 2. It says, for he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men but to God. Would that be the same thing as praying to God instead of men? If he says he speaks in a tongue, he's speaking to, not to men but to God. So therefore, it, couldn't that be considered prayer?
That's right.
Right? It says, for no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks what?
Mysteries.
He speaks mysteries. Well, it's not a mystery to God.
No,
it's a mystery to the person speaking it. But so when he's speaking these mysteries to God, as one other person I've heard say this, a preacher say this, that he's speaking divine secrets.
Amen.
That only God knows. For, you know, it says in Romans 8 about how the Spirit searches the heart and knows the thoughts of God. You know, only this Holy Spirit knows these things. And so when we're interceding for somebody on the other side of the world, we can be awakened. Get my verbiage here. You could be awakened in the middle of the night and all of a sudden moved on by the Holy Spirit to intercede for somebody in your natural language or in tongues. You could intercede for somebody in tongues and God, as one person, had a vision and saw it, that person that he's interceding for. And they checked with each other later on and exactly what happened that he saw in that vision.
Praise God.
So what am I saying happened there? His tongue became an intercessory prayer, but the vision was the interpretation.
Amen.
The interpretation can come in different forms, like I said, and one of them can be a vision, and you see the result of that prayer. Because it says, let him who prays in a tongue, a speaker or prays in a tongue, let him pray that he may interpret. Well, if you're praying for intercession and you see the action take place that that person on the other side of the world all of a sudden was saved from impending death, then you got the interpretation without having words.
That's right.
And Derek Prince mentioned how one pastor asked him about, why is it that it seems like we've had the outpouring of the Spirit in our church and it seems like everybody's getting the same kind of interpretation the same way. I don't understand why this is happening. He said people will see like a picture of something and they'll just describe it. And he says that seems to be the interpretation of the tongue.
Oh, that's
by seeing an image, a picture. And that's another person might see words on a scroll and just read what they see.
Wow.
I remember one time I was taking a test, you know, in college. And I had studied for several hours, and I felt, you know what, I'm kind of getting wore out of studying, but I still, you know, need some help from God. So I prayed, Lord, I said, I think I'm just going to spend time worshiping you now and just trust you to bring to my remembrance. And when I went and took that, it was a midterm exam. When I went and took that exam, I saw the words on a paper out in front of my face like I was reading it. I wrote down what I read.
Were you cheating?
You might say that. The Spirit was helping me. Well, that became a testimony later because guess what?
Wow.
I got 100 on that exam and I was the only one.
No.
And the next nearest grade was far below. And the teacher said, well, I was going to grade based on a curve, but since we had somebody who got 100, I can't do that.
Oh.
And then they all looked at me, and some of them looked at me. They weren't too happy. And he asked me, well, how did you do that? I explained that God helped me.
Amen.
It was a testimony of Jesus in my life.
Praise right? God.
So, hey, that was one way a testimony came from something. I saw a vision of the answers and just wrote down what I saw.
Greater the one inside of you.
Okay, so we're going to end this broadcast here. And extend our invitation to you to accept the Lord. And I'm going to let my sweetheart's pointing at me to do it this time. She says I'm always telling on her.
You do a great job.
Right, so if you have not accepted the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, today is the day to make that decision. Why wait another day? Because you don't know what your life will be like tomorrow. If you leave this earth without making Jesus Lord of your life and accepting him for the forgiveness of your sins, you will go to hell. And we don't want to see that happen.
That's right.
We want you in heaven. We want to see you there. And we want to hear that you received the Lord through our podcast. You know, that would be a blessing,
that's
right?
That's great. That's a blessing.
But most importantly is that you have that relationship with the Lord. You're born again and you have eternal life. So all it takes is accepting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Ask him to forgive you of your sins and receive him and ask him to come into your heart. And he will by his Holy Spirit. And you will be born again, a new creation
Amen.
In Christ.
Amen.
So we'll conclude this broadcast here. And thank everybody for listening. God bless you guys and have a good night.
God bless. Bye-bye.